Erev Tov, good evening. Thank you for your kindness. The Shia is going to focus on, as the title indicates, the tension on Rosh Hashanah between Din and Rachamin. And of course, Rosh Hashanah being the night of coronation, that's how the Baal HaTanya writes, and we have in our Machzor that the night of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah the night of coronation. Hashem is being coronated as King of the Universe. In the upper right-hand corner, in Mar Makom number 1, the Torah has in Parshas Emor, it's known as the Parshas HaMoados. That's how the Mishnah at the end of Megillah describes this Parsha. We have the various Yomim Tovim. If you take a look at the first series of Psukim, by Yidabri Hashem and Moshe Leymar, the seventh month, of course, that's Tishrei, on the first of the month, Rosh Hashanah, Yielochem Shabbason, Zichron Truah Mikro Kodesh. The Torah uses two different terms. One is Shabbason, and one is the term of Zichron Truah. Mikro Kodesh is a classic term used for every Yom Tov. The Torah continues, Komalachas Avodah Lo Sasu, one is not permitted to do work on Yom Tov. Again, the Torah uses the expression of Malachas Avodah. The Ramban already points out that this is in contrast to the language the Torah uses with reference to Shabbos. There the Torah says, Lo sase kol malacha, work is completely, absolutely interdicted, forbidden. Well, here the language is kol Malachas Avodah, which means that where the Mishnah has the Megillah, that anything having to do with food preparation is permissible. Generally speaking, when the Torah introduces a Yom Tov, it initially identifies it by name. And the Torah as well provides the chronology, the date for the Yom Tov, and only subsequently does the Torah mention the fact that it's a Mikra Kodesh. The way the Ramban and the Art Scroll more or less decided to take the Ramban's translation of Mikra Kodesh, Ramban says Mikra Kodesh Lashon Asifa, a holy day of convocation, when Klal Yisrael gathered together. So the Torah generally, when it presents the Yom Tov, as we'll see in a moment, this is the order. The name of the Yom Tov, the chronological date of the Yom Tov, and then we discuss Mikra Kodesh, and in Emor we have the Mitzvah Sayom that are unique to that Yom Tov. For example, take a look at the next Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, by Dabri Hashem and Moshe Leymor, Ach Be'osor L'Chodesh HaShvi Hazeh, on the 10th of the month of Tishrei, Yom HaKippurimu, that's Yom Kippur. Mikra Kodesh Yalachem, and then the Torah tells you the specifics of Yom Kippur, V'inisem Es Nafsho Seichem. The Chamisha Inuyim, the five prohibited areas that we are not permitted to engage in. So what is the order? We have the calendar date, Be'asa L'Chodesh HaShvi Hazeh, followed by the proper nomenclature, Yom Kippurim, and then the notion of Mikra Kodesh, and all at the end, does the Torah give us a precise definition of the charismatic mitzvah aspect of the day. In this case, the injunction regarding affliction, regarding Inuyim. Or, let's go a bit further down in the Psukim, with reference to Sukkis. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leymor, Dabrel Bnei Yisrael Leymor, B'chamisha Asar Yom L'Chodesh HaShvi'i Hazeh, again, the calendar day, the 15th day of the 7th month, Chag HaSukkos, the name of the Yom Tov, Shivas Yom L'Hashem, and then Vayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, and then following upon the heels of that, the mitzvahs that are relevant to the Yom Tov, namely, Dalad Minim, the mitzvah sitting at a sukkah. Again, the same pattern that the Torah generally uses occurs here as well. First, the calendar identification of the day, its proper name, and only at the end, the description of distinct mitzvahs that are involved with that particular day. Now take a look back at Rosh Hashanah, the first few psukim that we noticed, that we read. Here there's a deviation from the normal pattern. The Torah first addresses the calendar date, that's true, B'chodesh Hashi, B'echad HaChodesh, but right away, the language of Shabbosom. Shabbosom, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, refers to Katsheu Basias Melochem, the prohibition against doing work on Rosh Hashanah. Secondly, upon the heels of that injunction against work, we're immediately confronted with the Mitzvah Sayom of Shofar. The Torah then says, Zichron Tzua Mikra Kodesh. We don't even know the name of this Yom Tov. The Torah has not conferred a proper name on this Yom Tov. Nor do we find that the Torah provides us at all with any kind of identification, which is, again, somewhat enigmatic. All the other Tovim have clear names associated with them, be it Yom Kippur, be it Sukkot. Fourthly, only subsequent to the Torah's definition of the day in terms of its mitzvah content, Zichron Truah, then we are informed, if you will, somewhat parenthetically, that this day is also endowed as a Mikra Kodesh, akin to the other Yom Tovim. So the question is, why is the Torah deviating from the norm? Why is the Torah reversed here, the classical pattern of presentation? Why is the framework for Rosh Hashanah markedly different from that of the other Yom Tovim? I want to refer you now to the Ramban. Look on the left-hand side, item number two. The Ramban, I'll just read part of the Ramban and translate it. The Torah has not explained to us the reason for this mitzvah. Lama ha-truah. Why do we blow this truah sound? Zichron truah, as the Torah described it. Why is there a need for a remembrance before Hashem on this day more than all other days? And why in general is Rosh Hashanah constituted Yom Tov? What's the nature of this Mikra Kodesh? Avo, the Ramban continues, this day comes at the beginning of the month in which the Day of Atonement occurs. Says the Ramban, it would appear there's judgment that's taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Kibom yodin amim Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judges the people of Rosh Hashanah. Yeshev lakisei shofei tzedek, he's sitting on the throne of judgment. Ve'achvechein ba'asar yomim, and during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Ramban says, Yisa lepesha avodav, Hashem forgives the transgressions of his servants. Ramas hakosav ha'inyon, and those essentially, the Torah has been quite cryptic about the nature of Rosh Hashanah. We don't really understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about, what the connection to Yom HaDin is. It's not at all explicitly stated in the text of the Chumash, but there's a remembrance. Kasher noda b'yisrael mipi ha'neviim v'avos ha'kedoshim. We have some sort of masorah, some sort of tradition regarding Rosh Hashanah. And as the Ramban in his commentary here seems to accentuate the enigmatic and mysterious nature of Rosh Hashanah. The Torah is very terse and succinct regarding this Yom Tov. But the question, of course, is why? Why is Rosh Hashanah markedly different than the presentation that the Torah has vis-a-vis the other Yom Tovim? Our sense of mystery is further deepened and compounded by another startling fact. And this you'll take a look in item number three. It happens to be the Mishnah of today's Daf HaYomi. So the Mishnah, today's Daf HaYomi in Erevin comments, Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, and the second Mishnah as well, below that, Ha'over Lefnei HaTeva B'Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. I always found it to be very startling that the Mishnayos and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when they talk about this day, they call it Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. You don't find, from what I remember, parallel expressions of Yom Tov Shal Sukkos, or Yom Tov Shal Yom HaKippurim. Why does the Torah, number one, not really present the day as a Yom HaDin? We have no concept of that, as the Ramban noted, it's a Masorah. And secondly, why does the Mishnah feel constrained to call it a Yom Tov? Of course it's a Yom Tov. Everyone knows that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. We don't call Yom Tov Shal Yom HaKippurim Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. We don't call Yom Tov Shal Sukkot a Yom Tov. Sukkot is a Yom Tov. One can almost intuit, and my Rebbe Avsalovitcher Zatzal always commented that sometimes you don't really know the answer to a question, but you can intuit. You can somehow come to a maskana hamitbakeshet, a maskana that's almost inexorable, that the redactor of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, sensed the urgent need to shore up Rosh Hashanah as a Yom Tov. Somehow Rosh Hashanah inherently would not have the status of a Yom Tov, unlike Sukkot, unlike Yom Kippur, unlike Pesach. And this is underscored by emphatically declaring, yes, it's indeed a genuine and authentic Yom Tov. Because if it's left to its own devices, the matter would have been beclouded. It would have been unclear. This incisive insight was already foreshadowed for us by the Maharal in Prague, who notes that the first day of Tishrei is a Yom HaDin, a day of judgment. And somehow this aspect would have overshadowed, perhaps even negated, the notion of Rosh Hashanah being a Mikra Kodesh. And yet the aspect of Mikra Kodesh somehow surfaces. First, the Torah presents Rosh Hashanah, the chronology, Shabbos on Zichron Truah, and then Mikra Kodesh, different than the other Yom Tovim, as I noted a moment ago. Somehow that emerges from the fact that directly Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, and then secondarily the element of Mikra Kodesh comes to the fore. And that's where the Mishnah employs the terminology in Erevin of Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. Vis-a-vis the other Yom Tovim, the nature of the being Mikra Kodesh comes to full-throated expression graphically and clearly. Their point of departure is totally Mikra Kodesh, and all its other components emanate therefrom. Regarding Rosh Hashanah, the day is essentially, apparently, based on the Masorah of the Nevi'im, quintessentially a Yom Adin. And Yom Tov, if you will, has been superimposed on it. That's the basis for the striking phrase, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah.
But what about the use of the word
Shabbaton?
Rabban further informs us that all Yom Tovim have some autonomous historical underpinnings. Rosh Hashanah, the Rabban notes, seemingly has none. It's not even mentioned as a Yom Adin, the Torah proper. Its significance is derived from the fact that the Ramban writes, it's the Rosh Chodesh of Yom HaKippurim, namely Yom Aleph of Tishrei. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Tishrei. And this is the Rosh Chodesh, as the Ramban calls it, of Yom HaKippurim. The Ramban in Emor and the Ramban in this classic drasha to Rosh Hashanah coins a beautiful expression. You can see here in item number 2, in the middle of the Ramban use a matbea that captures the essence of the day. He declares that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din Berachamim. What a coinage. Yom Din Berachamim, a day of judgment tempered by the compassion of Hashem Yisbarach of the Almighty. In contradistinction, what does he call Yom Kippur? A bit later in the Ramban, it's underlined. Yom Rachamim Badin, a day of compassion, Bimahuso, in its essence, with overtures of judgment. We can adduce two pointed experiences that corroborate this definition of the Ramban. The first is Kriyas HaTorah that we read on Rosh Hashanah, on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read of the birth of Yitzchak, Leidas Yitzchak. Yitzchak personifies, Kayadua, the character trait of Din, Pachad Yitzchak, the Midah of Gevura, or in Kabbalistic terms, Hiskasus, hiddenness, obscurity. Of all the Avos, Yitzchak is a figure shrouded in mystery. The Midas HaDin of Hashem Yisbarach is also a frightening specter for the Jew who apprehensively and fearfully awaits his unknown fate. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we read of the episode of the Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of the Midas HaDin, via the instrumentality of the Midas HaRachamim. We say in Atfilos, and we ask Hashem on a daily basis, Ken yichbeshu rachamecha es kascha miyaleinu, v'yagolu rachamecha midosecha. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu stayed the hand of Avraham Avinu, al tishach yod cholana v'al taslo ma'uma, don't carry out the Akedah. So too we ask Hashem, may his compassion suppress and squelch his anger, and let the attribute of judgment of Din be inundated by the Rachamei Shamayim. So indeed, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din Birachamim. The first day, we read of the birth of the Midas HaDin, the birth of Yitzchak. The second day, the Akedah, Akedas Yitzchak, is what the Ramban terms Hamtokas HaDin, the sweetening of the Din. Din is now being tempered. Din is now being modified. A second parallel theme is also encountered in the order of the Kolos. The Gemara says that the basic note on Rosh Hashanah is the Truah. The Pasuk says, Yom Truah Yielachem, Zichron Truah. But Truah has to be preceded by what the Gemara calls Pshuta Lefanea and Pshuta Lachareha. Atkiah before the Truah, Atkiah after the Truah. What is the nature of this call of Tkiah? What is it all about? So the Ramban in Chumash, and the Ramban actually notes, it's found in Baal Oscha, also the Ramban and Emor. Trua, that note, that kol, is associated in Tanakh with war, with strife, with dissonance. The pasuk says, "V'chisavo milchama ba'artzechem alatzar hatzora eschem." If Chas v'Shalom, Klal Yisrael is involved in a war situation, "V'ariosem b'chatzotzos." Right away, we have to blow the chatzotzos. The lashon of the pasuk is "V'ariosem," a lashon of trua, which of course immediately conjures up a sense of din. Rosh Hashanah, that element of din is embedded in the language of trua. And we know Rosh Hashanah, we say in the Daven, we call it Hayom Haras Olam. It celebrates the process of creation that's founded upon immutable laws of nature. Ramban in general notes that the idea of din, or if you will, the Shem Elokim, is the Midas HaDin. A tree that doesn't experience photosynthesis will wither away and ultimately perish. Teva, nature and din are coterminous. There's no place for rachamim, compassion in nature. Nature can be harsh. Nature can be unremitting in its fury. Man is engaged in a constant struggle with nature. When Klal Yisrael journeyed through the desert, through the Midbar, we encountered Uskatem Trua, you shall blow this coal of the Trua, Venosu Amachanos, Trua Yiskul Maseyem. The journey entailed all types of hardships and military encounters with other nations bent on our destruction. Vayhi bin Saha Aron Vayom Moshe Kuma Hashem V'yafutzu Eivecha V'yanusu Misanecha Miponecha. So the Torah in these contexts, says the Ramban, a context of Melchama, a context of Din, uses the expression Trua, associated with cacophony, with noise, with disharmony. The Midas HaDin that hovers over the frail Jew exposed to the vagaries of nature. The expression Tkiya, in contrast, which precedes the Trua before, Pshuta Lefanea, and follows upon the heels of the Trua, Pshuta Lacharea, is generally found, says the Ramban, in the context of joy and elation, a mood that dovetails with compassion, with forbearance. The Torah says in Balotza, Uv'yom simchaschem emuadechem emroshei chodsheichem, uskatim achatotzos. During a time of simcha, a time of joy, a time of elation, there's an inyan of being tokeya, the lashon of the kol of tkiya. So essentially then, what is Rosh Hashanah? It's a yom trua, a day epitomizing the Midas HaDin, but its impact is cushioned, its impact is tempered by the tkiya on either side of it. In short, the attribute of rachamim, the tkiya, or simcha, does not permit the trua, the Midas HaDin, to take its natural course. What is happening is that the trua in the middle is sandwiched on both sides by the tkiya lefanea, by the tkiya lacharea. We can now begin to understand why the Torah has seemingly presented to us the Yom Tov aspect of Rosh Hashanah in a somewhat truncated form, markedly different than the other Yom Tovim. The overarching and awesome element of Rosh Hashanah begins with Zichron Trua. That's how we saw the Psukim in item number one, the beginning of Parshas Emor, upper right-hand corner, with its characterization as a Yom HaDin based on Masorah. The Mikra Kodesh element that normally comes to the fore in every Yom Tov here is sort of emerging in a secondary kind of way, but ultimately it emerges triumphantly. The backdrop for this is the tensile balance between Din, the judgment of Hashem is brought that looms larger Rosh Hashanah and overshadows the day, and Mitzad Sheni, Rachamim, or if you will, putting it in more dramatic terminology, the epic battle between the Trua in the middle and the Tkiya Lefanel and the Tkiya Lachavel. That tension comes to the fore on both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but in a totally antithetical fashion, as noted by the Ramban. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Din at its core, tempered by Rachamim. Yom Kippur is B'mahuso, a Yom of Rachamim, with elements of Din that, in effect, hover over it. Rosh Hashanah's point of departure is Din with an overlay of Rachamim. Yom Kippur is saturated with Rachamim and overtones of Din. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Pasuk of Zichron Trua, articulates a similar kind of notion. There exists an inner contradiction in these days that stymie our efforts. We're trying to unravel the threads linking all these diverse strands. And let's catalog some of the more obvious paradoxes regarding Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is included among the Mo'ad Hashem, here listed in Parshas Emor. On the other hand, we don't say Rosh Hashanah, Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzman U'Musasam. This is a discussion in the Dolei Rishonim, in the Rosh, in the Ran, another Rishonim, but bottom line is we don't utilize that language, which is very much embedded in every Yom Tov, overt joy, overt Simcha. Secondly, on the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch, Tav Kuf Tzadik Zayin Paskins, we don't say Tachanun and Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's a classical Erev Yom Tov. And we are duty bound to eat and drink in Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon quotes the Pasuk in Nehemia, Ichlu Mashmanim, Ushesu Mamtakim, Kiched Bas Hashem Yimo Uschem. It's a day of joy, of festivity. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Mechapsinu Mistapin Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're supposed to wear clothing that is laundered. We're supposed to take haircuts and dress in accordance with the spirit of the day. And yet, on the other side of the coin, we don't recite Hallel and Rosh Hashanah. Because the Gemara says, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefona, Batem Omim Shira. The book of life and death is open before us, and you're going to sing, you're going to engage in paeans of praise to Hashem Yisbarach. Thirdly, on the one hand, one is not permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah as another Yom Tovin. In general, the mitzvah of simcha belies and essentially is in contradiction to fasting. Whenever there's a mitzvah of simcha, there's an issur of tainus. Shabbos, there is no mitzvah of simcha. There's a din of oneg. Shabbos lo oneg nitna v'lo tzar, and therefore tainus chalom is mutar on Shabbos. Obviously not ideal, as the Gemara points out, but it's permissible. Yom Tov, tainus is awesome in our Torah. The din of simcha contradicts the concept of tainus. Ostensibly, because of the obligation of Simcha, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. And yet, Shulchan Aruch writes, if a person fasts a tainus chalom, sometimes people are in a state of great anguish, stressed out on Rosh Hashanah because of the fact they're standing in the presence of Hashem before the Yom HaDin, and he decides to fast the tainus chalom, he had a bad dream, so then the halacha is he has to fast for the remainder of his life, both days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, if there's no mitzvah Simcha in our Torah, on Rosh Hashanah, we can perhaps understand this law. But if the mitzvah simcha is min haTorah, v'haraya, there's no avelus. The machlokes in the Mishnah Ma'ikot, we pass on the halacha that Rosh Hashanah is deicha avelus. It overrides avelus. Obviously, it has to be a mitzvah of simcha. What the Gemara says, osi yasei derabim v'dochi yasei deyochid. The yasei derabim, the positive commandment of a samach v'chagecha, overrides the din of avelus mentioned in Pasuk Yirmiyahu, evil yochid asilach. So how could one disregard a biblical imperative because of a dream that one experienced? So again, a conundrum. But a fourth conundrum. On the one hand, we don't say hallel because it's Yemei Adin. And yet we clothe ourselves in Yom Tov raiment. In general, the Magen Avraham points out there are three types of garb that Jews wear. There's Big Day Chol, garments that we wear during the week, Big Day Shabbos, and then there's Big Day Chag, Big Day Yom Tov, which of course qualitatively is the highest level of begadim that we wear. But the Paskin bring down that Rosh Hashanah, we should not wear those garments, what's called Big Day Rikma, garments of silk that are normally worn on Yom Tov because of the sense of din, the sense of midas hadin that grips us. And yet, on the other hand, the Vilna Gaon points out that what is the Mizmor Shel Yom of Rosh Hashanah? Mizmor Pei Aleph in Tehillim, La Matzeach Al Agitis La Asav. Hainina L'Elokim Uzeinu. Let's just translate it. For the conductor upon the musical instrument called Gittis. Hariyu L'Elokim, sing joyously to Hashem. Su Zimra, Usnu Sof, Kinor Naim Im Novel. Raise the song, sound the drum. And those in short, the Mizmar for Rosh Hashanah is full-throated, paeans of Shevach and Shir to Hashem Yisbarach with the rhapsodic accompaniment of Klei Shir, musical instruments. The shofar is not just a kli designed to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, but it's also a musical instrument. So we have many, many conflicting desiderata. So how do we resolve all these conflicts in Rosh Hashanah? So in order to explore the background for these paradoxes, let's examine or re-examine the halachic antecedents for this tension. The tension of din and rachamim emerges as well. And here you have in the page in front of you, excerpts from Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, the three additional brachas that are added to the Shemoneh Esrei. They were appended to the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and they had become the warp and woof of its matbeah shel tefillah. As a matter of fact, the Baal HaMor was of the opinion that Malchus, Zoranos, and Shofros should not only be recited in Musaf, but in all the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. That's the matbeah shel tefillah, just as we have seven brachas on Shabbos, just as we have during the week 19 brachos, so too we should have every tefillah of Rosh Hashanah should have in it these additional brachos. Chazal and Kabbalah, there are only 9, so 7 plus 3 should be 10, but one of them, two of them are combined together. That's the subject of Machlokes Tanoim, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph Rosh Hashanah. But if we examine these three briefly, take a look at the excerpts that I have here, that I found in front of you, in item number 5, number 6, number 7. Essentially, Malchios is universal. We are asking Hashem to rule over the entire cosmos. Meloch al kol ha'olam kula b'chvodecha. His right to rule is juridic in nature, because Hashem is the creator. He created the world. He has judicial, juridic rights, proprietary rights. What the Gemara says several times in Shas, Uman konde b'shevach kli. So we are subordinate to Hashem is Barach. And on Rosh Hashanah, we are being mamlich Hashem is Melech. In Zichronos, which is found at the bottom lower right-hand corner, number 6, we assert the omniscience of Hashem is Barach. Ato zochir ma'asei olam, past, present, and future all merge into one tense for Hashem. The Jew stands in awe of Hashem as many Nevi'im of old. And as you can see on the bottom of Zichronos, the temporality of the human being that emerges from Zichronos is both, on the one hand, humbling, but also frightening. A recognition of our smallness, of our insignificance. Hashem not only punishes for deeds and actions committed, but even probes our thoughts and beliefs as well. The Baal HaMusar were wont to comment on the verse, Hamevin El Kol Maaseyim, a very strange construction. It should have said, Hamevin Es Kol Maaseyim. Hashem understands all of our actions. It doesn't say that. It says, Hamevin El Kol Maaseyim, which means that Hashem understands what compelled us to act, what our hidden agendas are, what our sinister motives are. Zichronos, in short, is a statement of our mortality, our inability to extricate ourselves from all kinds of webs of entanglements that we have utilized to ensnare ourselves. But a glimmer of hope surfaces when we are on the Chodesh HaShvi, we remind Hashem Yisbarach that this is also the Chodesh HaShvua. U'schar lanu Hashem Elokeinu es habris v'yasa chesed v'yasa shvua. Remember Hashem, the covenant that you consummated with Avraham Avinu. Remember Hashem, the days of yore when lechtech achrei b'midbar, Be'eretz Lozua. We traversed the desert. We were bound in wedlock to you. So already in Zichronos, towards the closing bracha, we already detect a softening, a remitting of Hashem Yisbarach's stance in Pasha. For he remembers our backslidings, but he also remembers our commitments. Ki zocher kol ha'nishkachos. Ein shichad v'nechisei chodecha. There's no forgetfulness before Hashem Yisbarach, but Hashem Yisbarach remembers Akedas Yitzchak, the Mesiras Nefesh, that Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu were ready to do, Berachmin Tiskor. And finally, in Shofros, which is the item number 7, we encounter the Shofar of Matan Torah, the overwhelming experience of Maimon HaSinai, Vayikol HaShofar Holech L'Chazik Me'od, the Torah tells us, and the realization of Shofros, definition of Shofros is essentially the notion that we are standing in the presence of Hashem. And Ein simcha yaisa gedela mi'amidah l'fnei Hashem. The greatest simcha that a Jew can have is the hargosha, the feeling that the presence of Hashem is all around me. I'm enveloped by it. I'm engulfed by it. I'm the presence of Hashem is brach. And that's why in Shofros, as you see in item number 7, we start to sing. We break out Halleluka, Halleluka, Kel B'Kotcher, Halleluka, Uzo. Halleluka, Seka Shofar. Shofar is one of the musical instruments that we are going to utilize to praise Hashem. In effect, we've come full circle. Our initial steps were taken very gingerly because the Melech Malchei HaMelechim sits on the celestial throne of judgment and remembers everything. But the bris of Akedas Yitzchak tips the scales, and we're suddenly heralding in Shofros the Shofros of Moshiach, the harbinger of our ultimate redemption. Tka b'Shofros Gadol l'Chavuseinu, v'Sondeis tka b'Yitzchak l'Yoseinu. The sense of rachamim has triumphed, and that's why the bracha of Shofros reflects this dialectic that I spoke about, this tension. Shomea kol truas amo Yisrael. Hashem hears the trua, which is midas hadin, but how does he hear it? Berachamim. Or the Ramban's expression, yemdin berachamim. Embedded right in that bracha of the chasima. The closing verse of Shofros reads, you can see it here as well, in the lower left-hand corner, uv'yom simchaschem v'adichem v'ashechat sheichem v'skatem v'chatzotzos. The obligation to blow the chatzotzos, the trumpets, alu l'seichem v'alzivchei shalmeichem, v'ayu lachem l'zikaron d'vnei elokeichem, ani Hashem elokeichem. If you look at item number 8, which is also found here, and the Rush, in the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, raises a question regarding this verse, because this verse speaks about chatzotzos. Ma'in yishmita, it's our Sinai. How is this to be utilized for... We're talking about not Chatzotzos, but the mitzvah of Shofar. The context is one of Shofar's, yet the proof text talks about Chatzotzos. So there are Rishonim who say that the pasuk is not congruous, but the Eved, you can utilize it. But the Rush himself writes the following. You can see it in item number 10. It's actually sort of microscopic print, so don't even attempt to read it. But the Rush said, the Mishum the Chisim Chatzotzos lo gri. Now, these two instruments are used interchangeably, chatzotzos and shofros, and this offhand is a very difficult position because they're two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, and there's a mitzvah to blow chatzotzos when uv'yom simchaschem v'adechem v'ashechot sheichem v'skatem v'chatzotzos. So what does the Rosh mean? Because it mentions chatzotzos, the two are interchangeable, and we can switch one from the other. So earlier, we cited the Ramban in Emor. The Rosh Hashanah represents the Rosh Chodesh of Yom Kippur, being on day 1 of Tishrei, Yom Kippur on day 10, and therefore it's a legitimate Rosh Chodesh. And yet, interestingly enough, we know that the ceremony of Shabbos Mevorachim has been eliminated from the month of Tishrei. The Rosh even cites a question that's posed by the Yerushalmi. This question was also discussed in today's daf in Maseches Erevin. The Mishnah quotes an opinion, which is found actually on the Marmikomos over here, that there's a Mandiyama who contended that there's an obligation to mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. But the Yerushalmi is the one that poses the question, because Rosh Hashanah has a double Kedusha Sayom. It has the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh and the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishnah on Lamed Tes, that was the Daf Hayomi of today, notes that we verbalize both Kedushas and Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah notes, Rab Dosa ben Arkinas Omer, if one actually is going to daven Rosh Hashanah, Omer Hachlitzenu Hashem Elokeinu es Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh, he maintains that it has to come to expression. We mentioned the idea of Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. Chacham disagree, and they say no. And the Gemara explains that position of the Chacham that we pass on the halacha like, because we do mention in our Tfilos that Rosh Hashanah is among its several names. Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, Zichron Trua. Rosh Chodesh is also called Zikaron. In that very same pasuk that I mentioned about Loscha, which is found in the upper right-hand corner of the second page here, Uv'yom Simchaschem V'adechem Rosh Chodeshem U'skatem V'chatzotzos Al Oseichem Al Zivchei Shalmeichem V'ayu Lachem L'Zikaron. The term Zikaron is used with reference to Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, and obviously the Yom Tov that characterizes this Yom HaZikaron, of course, is Rosh Hashanah. So both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh are called Zikaron. And the Gemara says, we have solved the problem. Namely, if you look in item number 11, Zikaron Echad Olu Lekan Lekan. Since I'm using the term Zikaron, so it refers both to Rosh Hashanah as well as Rosh Chodesh. I mean, the mention of Yom HaZikaron has in it conjoined both elements of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. And the Yerushalmi asked the question in the following way. Elamayata Yibata Rosh Chodesh Bitzvila, that maybe the idea of Rosh Chodesh should be completely obfuscated, totally eliminated in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. But what exactly is the discussion here? Why is the notion of Rosh Hashanah being Rosh Chodesh been eclipsed? Why is it not verbalized? Why does it only appear surreptitiously? Why does it only appear under a nom de plume, under the name Yom HaZikara, subsumed under another umbrella? So Taisus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chesed Beis, found here in item number 12, cites the pasuk in Tehillim. There are those who actually say this pasuk when they daven Ma'ariv Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. Before the Shemoneh Esrei, they insert psukim. The minig agua, minig yeshivas, is not to do so, but the pasuk that's inserted is the following pasuk: Tikul b'chodesh shofar b'keser liyom chageinu. Sound the shofar at the new moon, at the time designated for our festive day. Kichok li Yisrael hu mishpat elokei Yaakov. The word keser is either spelled with a hey or spelled with an aleph. It's somewhat cryptic, and there are three interpretations of that word. Either keser is related to kisei, Hashem sits on the kisei Rabban Issa on the throne of judgment at Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is blown during the time that Hashem judges the universe. It's the instrument used by the court bailiff to signal the imminent verdict about to be rendered. A second interpretation of keser relates to the pasuk in Mishlei. In Perek Zayin, Shlomo Melech says, "Liom hakeser yavo lebeiso." This is all quoted by Tosfos here. He'll come liom hamiyuad, the day that was selected. That day he'll come to his home. So the word yom hakeser is yom hamiyuad. And the third shot relates to the root chaf samechei, meaning to conceal. So when a letter is written during Aseret Yitzchuva, generally, Gedolei Yisrael used to write, Ben Keser L'Osar. This is the period of time, Ben Keser L'Osar. So Tosfos quotes the drasha of Chazal, Ezeu Chag Shachodesh Miskasebo. In what month is the idea of Rosh Chodesh hidden? Eviyom is Rosh Hashanah. Somehow Rosh Chodesh is covered up. Rosh Chodesh is under wraps when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. And it's manifest in Tfilah. Because if you look at Maariv Makom number 13, that we don't mention the Karbanos of Rosh Chodesh. We say, Milvad Ola HaSachodesh U'minchasa, Va'el HaSatamad U'minchasa. We delete the Karban Chatas of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Nor do we recite the Psukim of Rosh Chodesh and not mention either. There's even a more time-honored custom among Chazanim. He had to ask Rav David Feinberg Shlita if he has this Masera. Because last night he spoke about a number of very beautiful, very significant elements of Chazonis that one should be cognizant of. So Chazonim, when they reach the pasuk of Milvad Olas HaChodesh, they quickly run to complete the sentence. This I heard from a number of Chazonim who have go back to the days of yore. But you see, there's a conflict between Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. What is the nature of this conflict? And let's perhaps explain it in light of what we said till now. Why does Rosh Chodesh appear to burst through and surface only to be once again suppressed? So I heard from my Rebbe, Hagoyin Moron Harav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he suggested the following analysis. We all know that when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, there are two Kedushas Hayom, two different sanctities that have to come to expression, namely that of Shabbos and that of Yom Tov. Both coexist, both have to come to expression. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bekadish HaShabbos, V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. We mention both, Shabbos and Zmanim. However, vis-a-vis Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, let's raise the same question. Are they two independent sanctities, just like Yom Tov and Shabbos are two independent Kedush Sayom, and both have to be legitimately expressed? Or is it possible that the Kedush Sayom of Rosh Chodesh is submerged and subsumed under the rubric of Rosh Hashanah, and is incorporated as a silent partner in the Yom HaZikaron of Rosh Hashanah? Taisi Rosh Hashanah over here on Daf Chesed Beis, in the name of Rabbeinu Meshulam, felt that that's the case. There's no unique Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. It's partially concealed, partially truncated. In conceptual terms, there's a single Kedusha Sayom of Rosh Hashanah, and what do we call that Kedusha Sayom? Yom HaZikaron, that encompasses Rosh Chodesh as well. The Mechayev of the day is Yom Tov Shem Rosh Hashanah, Zichron Trua, and not Rosh Chodesh. There's no distinctive Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah as an independent entity. There's no Shabbos Mevorachim prior to it. Thus, said Rav Soloveitchik, here we have an illumination of the Gemara's question in Maseches Erevin. The Gemara asks, Ma'u Lahaskel Shem Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah? On today's daf, The issue was not solely and simply a question of whether to publish in the Luach, whether Rosh Chodesh should be duly noted or not. There's a more profound conceptual issue that's at stake. Are we dealing with two separate Kedushos, or is there now one composite Kedusha of Yom HaZikaron? The conclusion of the Gemara is Zikaron Echad Ola Lekan Olekan. The term Yom HaZikaron encompasses both of these elements, and somehow they merge into one identity. So this halachic analysis bolsters the aforementioned tension that I spoke about earlier between Din and Rachamim, between Truah and Tkia, and now between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh, or if you will, the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the Chatzotz of Rosh Chodesh. Furthermore, the Yalkut Shimoni, which you have here, on item 14, in Parshas Bava Yisro, on the Pasuk of Yom Simchaschem U'adechem Rosh Chodeshem, Uskatem HaChatzotzos, says the Yalkut, Ezeu Chodesh Yesh Lashnei Roshim, where do you find a month that has two heads? Heviyom is at Tishrei. So the difficulty here is self-evident. If Rosh Hashanah is ipso facto Rosh Chodesh, why does the Yalkut exegetically feel the need for a ribui? Chatzotzos are halachically mandated by dint of Rosh Hashanah being Rosh Chodesh. In the Beis Hamikdash, of course, that mitzvah comes to expression through a combination of both instruments. In the Mikdash, the mitzvah of Yom Truah consists of what the Pasuk says, V'chatzotzos v'kol Truah v'kol Shofar haril v'amelach Hashem. And that apparently is the intention of the Sifrei. Uskatem elu Shofros. Because the mitzvah of Yom Truah combines both Shofros and Chatzotzos. So what's the nature of this combination of Shofar and Chatzotzos? As mentioned, on Rosh Hashanah, there's a tension built into the very psyche of the day. Rosh Hashanah is quintessentially Zichron Truah, Midas Adin, Judgment, No Hallel, Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Meisim Surim Lefonov, Nova Asiyenu. There's a somber tone that casts its shadow over the day. But on the other hand, Rosh Hashanah represents the outstretched hand of Hashem Yisbarach in his boundless chesed, beckoning to us to do tshuva, to return, to stand before him. And this exalted notion of standing before Hashem, as I mentioned earlier, automatically precipitates Shira. The shofar represents the Yom HaDin, but it's also accompanied by Chatzetzot, the symbol of Shira, of song, of festivity. What quality of the day engenders Shira? What is the mechayev of it? So even Rosh Hashanah is a zikron Truah, but right upon its heels, says the Torah, is Mikra Kodesh. In other words, even though Mikra Kodesh seems to be in the background, as I mentioned at the outset of the Shir, but somehow, even though it's diffident, it's somewhat shy, but capable of expressing itself. So Rosh Hashanah itself is the Yom HaDin, but the muted voice of Rosh Chodesh, of the Bakeser Yom Chageinu, is more than faintly audible to us. It's submerged, but its presence is perceptible. Its presence is accompanied by Shira, so the Yerushalmi asked, if we delete Rosh Chodesh, the component of Shira, which is endemic to Rosh Chodesh, will be silenced. Yerushalmi asked this question, but the Yerushalmi answered, don't worry. The climax of Shofros is, namely, Chatzotzos and Shofros can be used interchangeably. So we began as subjects of the king being judged. We emerge in the words of Rashi on the Pasuk, Utruas Melech Bo, says Rashi, Re'uso Shakodesh Bochu. The word Truah is not only representing Din, but has in it, we are now arm in arm with Hashem Yisbarach, with our beloved. We are Yedidim, Yedidim Nefesh. Yes, the Mishnah writes in Rosh Hashanah, Shofar Marich. The call that has to be heard is a shofar. So that's the call that is extending itself. The Midas Adin that looms large. And yet, Chatzotzos Mekatzos, they are still Chatzotzos, but they are a more abbreviated, Shemitz Sayom B'Shofar. And those, this element of song in Rachamim is somewhat muted, but its presence is distinctly palpable. So this transformation from a Yom Din B'Rachamim Rosh Hashanah to a Yom Rachamim B'Din and Yom Kippur also has some beautiful agadic implications. If you look at the text in front of you, in last week's parsha of Vayelech that we read, the Torah says, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to pass away. And Klal Yisrael is going to become, unfortunately, involved in idolatry, in Avodah Zarah. Vazovani ve'eferes brisi asher karati ito. They're going to abandon me, and there'll be hafaras habris. The covenant will be completely and totally severed. V'charapi bo bayomahu, my anger will be kindled. V'azavtim, I will abandon Klal Yisrael. V'starti fonamem, there'll be hester ponim, Hashem will hide his face from us. V'yolecho will be achmanu litzlan, subjected to tormentors. U'metzau ros, rabos v'tzaros. So the Knesset Yisrael is being abandoned by Hashem is barach. A severance of Hashkach, of divine providence and guardianship that guided us, that nurtured us. The Torah goes on to say, V'yomar b'yomahu, when Klal Yisrael are going to be surrounded by this phenomena of alienation, of estaponim, our reaction will be, hello, al kieno lokai bikiri mitzoni aroseile. Sounds like we're in the pangs of tshuva, or minimally vidui, or some sort of akara sachet. Namely, Hashem is not with us. That's why we have all these problems. And yet, perplexingly, the Torah continues, V'anochi aster aster ponim, v'yamahu, nochamola hester ponim. Why? And the Torah says, kifona elohim acherim. First there's one hester ponim, and then there's some recognition on the part of Klal Yisrael, and then again, another hester ponim, kifona elohim acherim. So all the Mefarshim ask, why does the Almighty respond to our acknowledgement of our transgressions with another hester ponim? So there's a very gorgeous Ababanel, a beautiful Ababanel, basing himself on the Pasuk Yirmiyahu that's found here on Yamar Mekomo sheet number 19. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Ki oisi ozu mekor mayim chayim, Hashem says, you have abandoned me. I'm a mokor, I'm a source, a wellspring of mayim chayim, of water. And what have you done? Lachts of lehem boros, you've gone to other sources, but you've gone to cisterns, boros nishborim, that are broken. Now, the Navi takes us to task for two averas. One, osiyazu, forsaking Hashem. Two, ewing broken cisterns, idolatrous cults. Now, take a look at Vayelech, the psukim that we just read. The Torah also underscores two distinct averas. One, bezon acharei alhei necha haaretz, avodazara, idolatry. Two, vazavani veferes brisi, abandoning Hashem is barach. So initially, now read the psukim very carefully as Ababanel does. What do we acknowledge? What are we makir? V'yomar b'yomahu, halo al kieno lokai b'kirbi. Because Hashem has left us, that's why we're in Tzoris. So what's the reaction of Hashem? V'anochi aster aster ponim b'yomahu. Why again a hester ponim? The pasuk is very overtly clear. Kifono el elohim acherim. Yes. What are we makir? That Hashem has left us. But we've yet to come to grips with our idolatrous lifestyle that we adopted as well. We have yet to acknowledge our acculturation, our absorption of foreign values, our assimilation of Gentile mores in our lives. And that's the Abamanel's beautiful diuk in the psukim to explain the Hester Ponim a second time. The Ramban, however, develops a beautiful thesis, and perhaps we can illustrate it with the following analysis. The relationship of Hashem Yisbarach to Avraham Avinu, which ultimately became the foundation for the relationship of Hashem Yisbarach to Klal Yisrael, is a dual one. Initially, it's based on a concept of friendship. Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha, I'll make you into a Goy Gadol, and Ki Yedativ, Hashem loves Avram Avinu, Lashon Yediyah, Lashon Chiba. And yet later on, Hashem appears to him and promises him, L'Zaach HaEtein HaSaretz Azos, an unconditional gift, a divine promise to give his scion Eretz Yisrael. There are no restrictions at that point imposed upon Avraham Avinu, and suddenly the Bris Ben Absorim appears, and there's a vision. Don't be afraid. A vision that Avraham Avinu never experienced. Ramban sees in that vision elements of theophany, of Matan Torah, of Echol Ha'Omrim, Sakolos, Salapidim, Yesar Hashem. Till now, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu as a father, as an Av HaRachamon, as a confidant, a father overflowing with boundless compassion and love for a beloved son. And suddenly Avraham Avinu is confronted with this vision of a machazeh that carries echoes of Harsinai, a vision of Hashem, not as a loving father, but as a stern melech, a king, an autocrat, demanding, dictating. That's a vision of a bris. And that necessitated the part of Hashem is barach, al tira Avram, don't be afraid. And else here we have two different relationships between Hashem and Avram Avinu, b'tor av and b'tor melech. Later on, we have this duality again. In Pasha Shmos, Hashem is barach, through Moshe Rabbeinu, ro ra'isi asani Hashem b'mitzvayim, Hashem is portrayed as a father who can't bear the suffering of his children. But in Vayera, the Torah stresses a different element. The Gama Kimosi as Brisi Yitam, a king doting on legal contracts and treaties. In Shmos, Hashem clothes himself in the garb of a beloved father, another Rachamon, as he did in Lech Lecha when Avraham Avinu discovered him. And yet in Vayera, we have the element of Bris, similar to the Bris Min Absorim. So these two postures are critical to understanding our relationship with Hashem is Barach. The Gemara in Brachas, which is found here in item number 20, the Gemara actually cites two Ma'amorim expressing this dialectic. Omer Abalaza, B'yom Shechar B'samidosh Nin Alu Shari Tfila. From the time the B'samidosh was destroyed, the gates of Tfila are closed. A second statement, B'yom Shechar B'samidosh Nifsika Mechitzas Barzel Ben Yisrael Avim Shva Shamayim. So here we have two different statements. One that speaks of Shari Tfila, a Shari is a gate that conjures up the gates of the king's palace. But the second Maimar speaks about a mechitza ben Yisrael, la'avim shevashamayim, refers to Hashem as a beloved Av, a beloved father. Throughout the Golus, dynamics of Chet result from a double breakdown. As a result of Chet, Hashem is barach as our king, as our melech turned away from us. It's much easier to arouse the ire of a king. As we become more entangled and entrenched in Chet, then the worst possible scenario can occur, namely, Hashem is the Avraham Rachman, Rachmanu Litzan will depart as well. So the Torah tells us that already with the modicum of Tshuva, even a simple vidui, a simple akaras hachet, Hashem is barach as the Avraham Rachman will quickly return. He's waiting, meitzis melech harakim, he's peering through the lattices, ready to seize any lifeline of Tshuva that we embrace. And that's the pshat, perhaps, in the psukim that I just referred to, mentioning the Ababanel and the Ramban, and now suggesting another pshat. V'yoma b'yomahu, what do we say? Halo al kino l'kai b'kirbi mitzoni yarel se'ele. We recognize the fact that Hashem is not with us, and that's why we're engulfed with tzaras. And yet, right away, falling upon the heels of that, another hester upon him. Why? Because there are two types of hester upon him. There's hester upon him of a melech, and hester upon him of an Avraham Rachman. Hashem is the melech, waits for a more profound, deeper return. But the Ramban calls this hester p'nei ha-geula. So we're still awaiting the return of Hashem as melech. Undoubtedly, Hashem as an Avraham Rachman returns very quickly. But the second hester upon him of a melech, much more difficult to once again bring that back. And Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on the Kisei HaMishpat. V'yitnu lecha kesem melucha, the night of coronation. Melech ba'asara levushim. Hashem is clothed in all of his majestic raiment. The court is in session. There's no video on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? For in the presence of a stern king, a melech, a shofet who judges his subjects objectively and truthfully, we are speechless. And in item 21, again, one of the piyutim, kel emuno v'yorkich adin. Im tematzei omek adin, mi yitzdak lefanecha badin kadosh. Who can possibly stand in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach and Yom Adin? The Shech Tzibur cannot even articulate his philos properly because he's been seized by a visceral fear, as in 22. In the Akdama, in the Chazar HaSashatz of the Shech Tzibur, yoreisi b'vtzeisi siach lahashchil. The sense of dread, a fright, is overwhelming. It's Melech Elyon, the transcendental king, ha'ocheis biyad midas ha'mishpat, holding on to the scales of justice. We meekly turn to the shofar to intercede. Even the language, which is found in the piyutim, b'shofar afatenu u'berach priya. Shofar becomes an instrument of pitui. According to the Avi HaKadosh, on Rosh Hashanah, we begin Avinu Malkeinu with the second stanza. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu Chatan Levanecha. We begin with Ein Lanu Melech Ala'ata. The sense of Hashem as a king with all the pageantry of aristocracy, pomp and ceremony, being ushered into the throne of judgment. Din is the order of the day, but we are feverishly groping and searching for any possible mode to mitigate the Midas HaDin, what the Ramban calls Hamtok HaSadin, sweetening the din. Hashem is Baruch HaRosh Hashanah is the Melech par excellence. And in stark contrast, we have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a full-throated Mikra Kodesh, as the Torah indicated by the Seder Advarim that I mentioned. Yom Tov in all of its glory and splendor. We're enwrapped in Aksus Nikia, in our white kittel, pure white garments. We have candles that illuminate our shuls. The sun has disappeared, as Chazal tell us. That day, the sun is non-existent. The night of Yom Kippur is a festive one. Anshe Maisa used to sing Shiros V'Tishbachos the entire night. Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabirol and Sfarim HaMakpid to say Kesef Malchus, which is sung rhythmically. The day begins with supplication, Yale Tachnu Neinu Me'erev, on Yom Kippur night. But it's peppered with Yugim Amidah Sharachamim, Atfilos on Yom Kippur night. You can see here in 23, 24, 25, and 26. Slachno, yes, Hashem, for Slicha, Lavon Banecha, your children, Anu Amecha, Anu Banecha, Ato Avinu, and on and on. Hashem is Baruch and Yom Kippur has embraced us as a beloved father. Rosh Hashanah is more B'tor Melech, sitting Al Kisera Manisa. Yom Kippur, once again, reconciled, we're united with him. The Kohen Gadol, in the presence of the Shiat Tzibur, recites the Avoda, the way the Mishnah writes in Yuma, as a Ben Bayis. He feels at home with his beloved father and longs to rendezvous with him. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that his grandfather, Rav Chaim Briska, had accustomed to study one chapter of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva every day of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The early chapters of Tshuva, the first two prokim that connect with the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, focus on the mood of Yira, reflecting the Yom Din of Rosh Hashanah. When we reach the middle, we have Bechira Chavshis, and finally, the last chapter is the chapter of Avos Hashem, connected to Yom Kippur, the theme of Perigyud Hilchos Tshuva. So we, in effect, have traveled in Odyssey. We began with strict justice, with Yikov Adidas Sahar, with the Melech HaYoshev HaKisiram Benisa. Little by little, it becomes tempered with Rachamim. And finally, on Yom Kippur, we have essentially a day of Rachamim with some elements of Din associated with it. And this is beautifully encapsulated in the Tefillah of Klal Yisrael, the close of the Ilah. Hashem Hu Elokim, the same Ribbono Shel Olam, who saw us from a distance as a melech, as a king, donned in royal attire, as a magistrate, bewigged and besotted, is now the Ohr HaRachamim, the Beneficent Father. It's the coming together of, as we say as well, item number 28. This is in the Tefillah of Hineni Hani Mimas of the Shach Tzibur. It's the embrace of Din and Rachamim. And the Gemara says, Lo Nivru Ra'amim Ela Lahayshir Akmum Yeshabalei. Why was thunder created? To correct distorted hearts. The Midas HaDin of the Melech was thundering, but the Rachamim and Simcha Vashem Izbarach as an Av HaRachamon surfaces. You can now understand a beautiful Svarno who comments on the pasuk we began with this evening, Zichron Trua, says the Svarno, Zichron Trua, Shel Melech, Bo Yogilu Malkom, Haninu Elokim Uzenu, Haril Elokei Yaakov, Venei She Yoshev Al Kisei Din, Hashem sits on the throne of judgment, Tiku B'Chodeshov V'Kesel Yom Chageinu, and goes to the Svarno. In effect, we have to be happy Al Shehu Malkeinu, B'yate Klapi Chesed. Even though it began as a stern melech, autocratic magistrate, but ultimately he's going to be Nota Klapi Chesed, B'yizake Osanu, he's going to be Mezake Os, Hashem Shovteinu, Hashem Echokeinu, Hashem Malkeinu, Hu Yoshienu. So in Din, a Jew treads with trepidation, but ultimately he encounters great simcha in discovering the Malchus of Hashem. He discusses the fact that Hashem is Av HaRachamon. So we anticipate din not only with awe and trepidation, but with a sense of gilu berada. Perhaps there's a sense of ra'ada, of fear, of anxiety, of stress, but ultimately it's overcome by gila. Hashem has, in effect, displayed another aspect of his personality. In other words, built into the very fabric of din is the midas harachamim, the element of simcha. That's why the pasuk says, Ala Elokim Bisrua. Initially, when we sound the kol trua, the midas, the midas Elokim, the midas hadin. But ultimately, it is transmuted and transformed into Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem B'Kol Shofar. And that's beautifully encapsulated in the tefillah of the Jew at the end of Ne'ilah. Hashem Hu Elokim, that I mentioned earlier. The same Yibam Shalom, who saw me from a distance as a melach, L'Midas Adin, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now Hashem is the Av HaRachamon. So in effect, what's happening at Rosh Hashanah and the Odyssey from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, that even though Hashem created the world with the midah of Elokim, Perek Aleph of Bereishis, for the Perek Beis we have Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam, the total metamorphosis from the midah Sadim to the midah Sarachamim, or the Tkiah Trua model, Trua in the middle, surrounded by Tkiah, Hamtoka Sadim, or the Kriya Satura model, the birth of Yitzchak midah Sadim, and the Akedah of Yitzchak, and that's exactly what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. And that's embedded in one pasuk cited by the Rabban in the Drasha. Ashrei ha'am yoydei srua. Happy are the people who know the secret. Namely, we can uncover, we can deprogram the midas hadin, and as a result of that, yoydei srua, yoydei min lashon yedatin, chiba. What happens? Hashem, yudkei vavkei, bar panecha yaleichon. So on Yom Kippur, we realize the words of the Baal Musaf in the beautiful piyut of Hinei Ni'ani Mimas. The Al Kol Pshoyim Techase Ba'Ava, we tell Hashem Yisbarach, Ha'emes V'Hasholom Ehobu, this Kiyam Ayom of Yom Godol Va'adi Bashona, the Rosh Hashanah, leads to, is slowly approaching. Let us seize the moment and prepare ourselves to be inscribed through the concept of Hamtoka Sadin in the Sifron Shel Tzadikim, L'Shona Tova, Tikaseimu, Sechaseimu, La'alta L'Chaim Tovim, Besifrin shel tzadikim gvurim, lanu l'chol Yisrael, amen v'yamein.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Shukach.
Amen.